Welcome to the New Mexico Motorsports Report, presented by Napa Auto Parts, Yearwood Performance, ABQ Dragway, the Unser Racing Museum, and the New Mexico Rods and Rides Magazine. Your host, David Swope, will be talking about events happening around the state and on the national scene. Whether it's got two wheels or four wheels, pavement and off-road racing, or park and shine. If you are into it, we are into it. Call now, 994-1017. That's 994-1017 to get into all the action. Now, here's your host, David Swope.
Good morning. Saturday morning, and time for the New Mexico Motorsports Report. I'm your host, David Swope, and we'll be talking about automotive and related motorsports activities around the state and on the national scene each and every week. We invite you to get involved by calling 994-1017. That's 994-1017. And to get into all the action, whether it has two wheels or four, asphalt or dirt track racing, off-road or park and shine, we'll be talking about it. This is New Mexico's only show devoted to motorsports-related activities with a full hour here on ESPN Radio 101.7 The Team. And first, I want to start off inviting you all that are in from out of town for the Balloon Fiesta. Looks like you got a nice launch this morning. The sun's out, incredible weather, so it should warm up pretty quickly. But if you're in from out of town, or if you're an Albuquerque resident and you're out supporting the Balloon Fiesta, we appreciate that. So stay tuned. We got a full hour packed full of racing information. And last weekend, I actually went out to Dover Speedway, and let me tell you, it was a monster mile. I mean, it was quite a lot of racing, a lot of green flag laps, which were really tough. But first, we want to talk about the Xfinity race on Saturday and what happened after the race. Coming off of the comments this week of Denny Hamlin that the NASCAR drivers don't get paid enough, that they should get paid equivalent to athletes at the NBA and NFL. Now, that opened up a whole can of worms, because then you could actually get back to, there's a lot of people that believe that they're not necessarily athletes because they drive a car, and the car makes so much difference versus, who should get paid more. NBA players who, are starting lineup of five, or the NFL who's got a starting offensive line, offensive team of 11 players and defensive 11 players, and all the players that play special teams and everything. Very, very interesting debate. But at the Xfinity race afterwards, Ryan Blaney, and we caught up with him, actually gave a flag to a fan. That's more of what NASCAR needs to be seeing, and less of these millionaires, billionaires, complaining about whether they're making enough money. Got some audio with Blaney after the race.
Can I ask you really quickly about yesterday when you gave the flag to the fan? When did that kind of cross through your mind that you wanted to do that?
We were doing the front stretch deal with TV, and I've never done one of those before, and those are actually really cool when you're kind of in front of the fans. And I got the checkered flag. To be honest with you, I don't really ever keep the flags. I give it to somebody else on the team or something. Saw a kid, and he looks excited to be at the race, so I figured I'd give it to him.
Remind you of many of the times you spent at the track with your dad and being in the stands and cheering and really making that connection?
Yeah, I mean, whenever I see kids around the racetrack, it reminds me of, when I was growing up at it, and to see them having a love for it and to be out here watching it and enjoying it and sticking around the whole race, that's pretty cool. So I feel like it's part of our jobs to not only kind of give back to the fans, but the kids of the sport. I feel like that's very important.
Ryan Blaney, one of the young guns in NASCAR, and already's got it figured out. It's not rocket science. Making connections one fan at a time is how we're going to grow this sport. And I'm not sure talking about who's getting more money is necessarily where it needs to be. But I tell you, some of the people that were money at Dover was Kyle Busch. Kyle basically was just stalking Chase Elliott down, two laps to go. Actually used Ryan Newman as a pick to set up the pass on Chase Elliott. It was devastating for Chase. We were actually caught up afterwards with Jimmy Johnson, because Jimmy had spent a few minutes with Chase afterwards. Basically, Chase, and I'll draw you a picture. The race is so grueling. It had so many green flag laps, finished under a green, and tire wear really became an issue. And the reason Busch got the victory was more that his car didn't fall off as much as Chase Elliott. So Chase took it all on himself, though, was basically exhausted, leaning over the car for a few minutes. I caught up with Jimmy Johnson and asked, what was kind of going on there? What were some of the things that maybe you were saying to Chase?
He does. I mean, just
his face, and I can see his guys standing behind you. I feel for him. I knew I couldn't say anything to make it better, but I felt like just standing there was maybe helpful because I know him so well, and maybe let him get a few cuss words out before he had to actually pull it together and do a proper interview. Yeah, I don't think you can say anything now to make it better. As we get closer to next weekend, the sting will subside, and you can look for the silver lining. But right now, it's the racers. It's going to hurt, and it's going to sting. We all know that 24 car is going to win a lot of races soon, and I feel for those guys.
So as far as Hendrick is concerned, Elliott was a runner-up, Johnson was third, and Junior came in eighth, and it was quite a great showing for Hendrick, got himself back on track. But as I said, Ryan Newman was probably the first one to make it to the pits after the race, and he got out, and he was exhausted as well. And you could just continue to see how conditioning plays into this, which goes back into the argument about whether these guys are athletes or not. I had a follow-up question with Jimmy Johnson because he's probably the most known for his conditioning. We know that he's into bike racing and he's into, several other things. So, definitely one of those things that plays into it. A lot of other, things that were going on is early in the race, we actually had another red flag situation where, Jeffrey Earnhardt actually lost control of the car and hit one of the barriers coming into the pits, and that was pretty interesting because they had to figure out how to clean that up and everything. But there was a lot of different things that were interesting about the track and about the weekend. Another takeaway actually is now I've been to a handful of NASCAR tracks, and I'm always amazed at how different they are. And you would think, okay, they talk about the cookie cutter mile and a half tracks. I've probably been to more mile tracks and super speedways than I have been to the mile and a half tracks. But nonetheless, it's amazing how different all of them are. In this one was awfully, awfully grueling, and it's in concrete, which is a little bit different because the way you actually stick the car in the corners is completely different. And so actually I wanted to follow up on that question with Jimmy Johnson about conditioning and how much conditioning played into this race.
How much did your conditioning play into such a tough track to run 400 laps here?
Yeah, it definitely makes a difference. Conditioning and then also the journey of getting in shape. You learn what helps your body recover, how you fuel, all that different stuff, hydration. So it's been a big factor.
Because Chase's youth kind of helped to run up front like that?
Yeah, youth can carry you a long way. I didn't get serious with fitness until my 30s. So he's running on youth for sure.
So I got a little had to get a little shot in there on Jimmy because sometimes, like you said, I mean, because you actually wonder how long can Jimmy Johnson continue to drive at this level. Of course, Dale Jr., this was his this is his final season, may be his final race at Dover. We'll definitely see. Going into that race, there were some milestones. Nobody other than Jeff Gordon has actually won in the 24. You could actually hear the air go out of the grandstands with the pass when Bush put the pass on Chase Elliott. No victories there. But Hendrick was on a milestone of 250 career victories for the team. I caught up with Dale Jr. and asked him about that.
So Dale, I just wanted to ask you, there's a lot of potential milestones in the race today, including it was almost 250 victories for Hendrick. How good was it for the team to have such a strong day?
I think it's great because, there's been some concern, I guess, over the performance of our team over the last couple months. So it's a good shot in the arm for Hendrick Motorsports as a whole, and gives them guys a lot of confidence going forward for this championship. Gives us confidence going forward that we'll have some more competitive runs for the years out.
So how far away do you think Chase is from a victory?
One spot, it looks like.
Good job. I thought that was a great answer. So one of the things that I don't think comes off as well on TV is just Dale Jr.'s dry humor. Is such a good guy. And once again, I'd like to point out that he stayed and was continuing to sign autographs. I mean, he's actually going to be severely missed. but also had an opportunity pre-race to catch up with Chip Ganassi. We wanted to talk a little IndyCar because we had a chance to talk to him coming off Scott Dixon finishing third. And this is what Ganassi had to say about the upcoming 2018 season for Ganassi Racing in IndyCar.
So in the open wheel season next year, what are you looking forward to with your IndyCar team?
I mean, we just want to get back to, you know, two cars at the front, you know, and we need to have that to compete to compete at the level we want to compete at against who we're competing with. So we just need a little. I need to get Dixon a little more help up at the front there.
Yeah, because it's such a juggernaut with, you know, Penske having four cars.
Sure.
But Scott was right there. I mean, with
yeah,
his shot.
Yeah, right there, right
until
the very end. Yeah. We just, you know, you look back on it. I think we knew going into the season that we were going to be a little challenged. You know, we knew the Aero kit. We knew what the Chevrolet Aero kit was worth, and we knew we were a little disadvantaged there, but. You know, we really, I guess at the beginning of the year, we didn't really think we were going to be in it. And there we found ourselves, you know, not many points out of it going into the final race. We were lucky to be in that position. And, we're looking forward to next year, though. And, we love that kind of racing also. So.
You can have any additional entries for the 500?
As of today, I'd say no. But you never know what happens by the time that comes around.
Is that all about sponsorship?
Pretty much.
This, I had to get the sponsorship question in there because really the conversation this week with Denny Hamlin about whether they deserve more money. At being around Denny Hamlin, you actually realize that he is, and of course he's one of the leaders in the driver council, is he's very cerebral. He's thinking through all of these things. Sometimes he doesn't think about how the perception is to the fans. I know where he's going with this because really he just wants to get in and drive, but there's all of these sponsor commitments. There's all of this money that needs to be into the system. Anyway, elimination race, Ryan Newman, Austin Dillon, Kurt Busch, and Casey Kane were eliminated. Now there's 12 left. Of course, going to Charlotte this weekend. We're going to catch up with Brooklyn, actually, out at the racetrack a little bit later. But coming up next, we have an interview with Michael Waltrip that I think you'll really enjoy. You've been listening to the New Mexico Motorsports Report here on ESPN Radio, 101.7 The Team.
Boogity, boogity, boogity. This is Darrell Waltrip, three-time NASCAR champion, and you're listening to David Swope on the New Mexico Motorsports Report on ESPN Radio, 101.7 The Team.
The pit stop is now over. Let's return to the New Mexico Motorsports Report and get things revved up with your phone calls at 994-1017. That's 994-1017. Now, back to the New Mexico Motorsports Report, presented by Napa Auto Parts, Yearwood Performance, ABQ Dragway, the Unser Racing Museum, and the New Mexico Rods and Rides Magazine. Here is David.
All right, welcome back to the New Mexico Motorsports Report here on ESPN Radio 101.7. Little sad news, actually, in NASCAR, the passing of Robert Yates. Of course, he's going to be inducted into the NASCAR Hall of Fame in the next coming round. But big loss to the sport, probably the last of the old school mechanics, builders. He did everything around the sport. Going to be deeply missed. But I wanted to continue on that conversation about talking about sponsorship and was able to catch up with Michael Waltrip with the announcement of ISM and the naming rights to the Phoenix International Raceway. It's going to be hard to call it the ISM Motorsports Park or whatever the name is going to be. It's going to probably be too long. I had a nice conversation with him and wanted to share that with you now. All right, we got a special treat for you today. Joining the show is Michael Waltrip, two-time Daytona 500 winner, and importantly, locally, the 2012 Celebrity Challenge winner at Napa Speedway, which is now Sandia Speedway. Welcome to the show, Michael. How are you doing today?
You know, I was thinking about coming to Albuquerque that year. I wondered when it was. I remembered I loved that hot rod car I got to drive on the dirt track there. That was a lot of fun. I'm glad you brought that up.
Yeah, absolutely. Of course, you know, prominently had the Napa sponsorship and a lot of lovely, lovely trophy girls that were involved in that as well. But our closest NASCAR track is in Phoenix, and big announcement yesterday. Talk a little bit about ISM getting involved with the naming rights out at Phoenix International Raceway.
Well, obviously they're beginning in the middle of a big renovation.
Yep.
at Phoenix Raceway, and the renovation includes new amenities for the fans when they get to the track, better suites, nicer seats in the stands, also elevators, escalators, bathrooms. They're just going all in on making Phoenix one of the most modern and updated racetracks in all of NASCAR. And a part of that is the partnership with ISM. So while the brick and mortar are being laid and grandstands are being built, cables and wires are being run all over the facility in order to provide the fans with more access to the content. So when they're in their grandstands, they can look down at huge video boards all over the facility to see what's happening on the racetrack. They can also access Wi-Fi from their seats. There's just so many different and exciting opportunities for the fans to figure out ways to consume the race and have more fun when they're at the racetrack. So it's a wonderful project. I think the Speedway is spending $178 million
wow.
on the update, and it's all for the fans. And Phoenix is one of my favorite stops on the circuit all year long. And so when the fans are going to be able to come and check out this new modern technology hub, basically, where they can just experience the race in so many different ways, it's just going to be a lot of fun for me to be able to recommend people head to Phoenix if they want to check out a NASCAR race.
Well, and actually, I mean, Daytona Rising in the project at Daytona was probably a perfect example. I went to the race immediately following, you know, with the unveiling of that. Had an opportunity to sit down with Joey Chiwa III and talk about the project. Are we seeing more of that technology coming to the tracks, a way to continue to keep fans engaged and try and reach out to kind of some of the younger listener, you know, some of the younger consumers of NASCAR? Are we going to see more of this as more tracks start to update?
Oh, certainly. You know how important it is for the kids to be able to take their selfies.
Yep.
And be able to paste it to their Instagram machine or their Facebook, whatever they like.
Right.
And so I have a 19-year-old daughter that loves to come to the races, and she wants to be able to be connected electronically to the world so she can send out her pictures of her enjoying the race weekend and share that experience with folks. And this is just going to offer that opportunity up for the younger kids to be able to do that. But then, as importantly to me, it'll be a more avenues in which to consume the race, to understand who's leading, who's a lap down, who's trying to win the championship. There's just so many opportunities to keep the fans more informed. And I'm a big NASCAR fan, obviously. It's been my whole life. And I understand every twist and turn of an event. And I think that's why I enjoy it so much. The more the fans can understand, see, and learn, I think the more they enjoy the race.
Well, and I think sponsorship is so important. And I think you, more than anybody probably understand that. I mean, teams, NASCAR itself, and the venues all competing for sponsorship. This deal, a 10-year naming rights, actually brings a ton of stability to the facility as well as all the upgrades. Talk about the challenges that teams face in kind of competing for, in some cases, the same market, the same company for advertising and sponsorship.
I think it's always been that way. You know, sponsors are something that you're blessed. It's a privilege to have someone that wants to sponsor your car or your track. And so it's just all about going out and being innovative and figuring out ways to deliver eyeballs to that sponsor and to be able to activate around that sponsor and then earn that sponsor a nice return on their investment for the sport. So I really appreciate when someone wants to put their name on my car or on my shirt so I can represent them. And I just go out and try to do everything I can to help them justify the spend and then not only justify it, but be able to celebrate with the successes of the partnership. So ISM is totally all in on this project. I think you're going to be able to see such a massive undertaking in technology at ISM Raceway. It's going to be a lot of fun for the fans to understand that. And then the other sponsors that sponsor cars and the track itself, they'll be able to reap benefits from everything that ISM is doing there. So it's a win-win situation for me.
Yeah, absolutely. And I wanted to talk a little bit about your thoughts, you know, in the Camping World Truck. And all the young guns that are, you know, actually at all levels, you know, from a Monster Energy Cup, Xfinity, but in the trucks, there just seems to be such a resurgence of young people coming into the sport. Is the sport going to be able to also harness the social media aspect that the young people are bringing and kind of bring this full circle with all the young drivers we have coming into the sport?
It's just the world in which we live these days, and you know they're ready to race at a younger age than anyone back in my generation would have been, because they're able to get on the internet and do virtual racing and drive iRacing cars and watch every practice session from NASCAR. So from the time they're on this earth, they've just been inundated with all this information and opportunities to go out and race cars when they're 3 years old, not physically race, but maybe on the racetrack. Some of them, however, do start when they're 3 or 4 years old, but to be able to play video games that familiarizes them with what a racetrack looks like and what the line that they'll need to take when they get to the corner is like. So, they're getting experience and they're ready to go earlier than ever. And, they can actually race a truck when they're 16 years old. So when you have that opportunity, certainly you can't wait till your 16th birthday to get out there and show the world what you've learned and what you got.
Absolutely. William Byron comes to mind specifically as somebody kind of came up through the iRacing ranks. But likewise, Alex Bowman's going to jump into the 88 next year. And Alex Bowman, you know, reports are a lot of the reasons why that was a great fit for the team was just the sheer amount of hours that he had actually spent in the simulator. How important is it gotten to be to where the amount of time they spend in the simulator versus kind of the seat time they get at the track?
Well, the simulator is important mainly for the as much for the driver as it is the team. They can simulate different changes, adjustments, variations of the race car, and run it through the simulator and find out the results. And the more information you feed into the simulator, the more information you can get out of it. So the crew chiefs and engineers constantly want someone driving the simulator, running the simulator, so they can continue to learn from it, but also improve the platform of it to make it more and more viable as we go forward. So I think it's important to the young kids to be that guy, be the one that wants to say, I'll get in that simulator, I'll drive it all day long if you want me to, because it gives them some seat time, it familiarizes them with what changes might feel like and how they can feel those in their friends and learn from the simulator while the engineers learn from it as well.
And then when you take a look at this season with the stage racing that came in, and you've been in the sport long enough that you've seen various types of rule changes in attempt to, you know, make the racing more exciting. What are your thoughts on, I mean, stage racing? It seems from the outside that they've really really done a nice job. It's really brought a lot more drama to the to races that maybe were a little less interesting. What are your thoughts on stage racing?
Well, I think every race is interesting for so many reasons, but the stage racing as a TV guy, it just gives us more events, more moments in the race to talk about and to watch the crew chiefs build around and try to use the strategy and put themselves in the position not only to win a stage and grab those playoff points and stage points, but also to be in a position to win the race at the end of the day. So to me, it's just been really entertaining. It's offered the fans more to watch and think about. And I think that that's another great thing about ISM Raceway. You know, the fans are going to be able to follow along and see what those crew chiefs are doing and how they're attacking the race via the internet, via their phone, the app that's going to be at the track, the video boards. just going to make it a very festive, fun opportunity for the fans to learn more about this great sport of ours.
Absolutely. Hey, I got one last question for you. How are you coming looking for a sponsor for your pit walk?
Well, I just get out there and prance up and down pit road and have a good time. Hopefully the fans appreciate it, enjoying it. And I really like the opportunity to get out there and see the drivers right before the race and how candid and
yep.
and honest they are. It's really a fun experience. I've enjoyed getting to do that.
Yeah, I think that's one of my favorite parts is, and you know, I was just thinking maybe like Chuck E. Cheese, you know, would be a good sponsor for that, you know, because you kind of getting involved and getting people excited and going out and having fun. Hey, Michael, I really appreciate you giving us some time and updating us on the neat changes that are happening out in Phoenix and with the ISM sponsorship and naming rights. I hope to see you out in Albuquerque again soon.
Well, if you don't mind, if you can find a picture of me in that Napa car, put it on my Instagram or my Twitter, I'd like to see it. I was looking for one the other day. I remember how much fun I had there.
Okay.
So I'm MW55 on Twitter and MWR55 on Instagram. So if you find anything, put it up for me.
I will do so because I actually have some. I did an article on it for one of the local magazines, and I actually do have a photograph of that, so I'll make sure to post that on Instagram for you. Hey, thank you again for joining the show this morning.
Okay, thank y'all. Have a great day.
Awesome. Well, that was Michael Waltrip, two-time winner of the Daytona 500, and of course won the 2012 Celebrity Race here in Albuquerque, out at Sandia Speedway. At the time, it was called Napa Speedway. But we got a whole lot more coming up on the New Mexico Motorsports Report here on ESPN Radio, 101.7 The Team.
Hi, this is Martin Truex Jr. You're listening to the New Mexico Motorsports Report on ESPN, Albuquerque 101.7 The Team.
Crafters now has locations all around Albuquerque and two locations in Rio Rancho.
So no matter what side of town I'm on, I can find a Car Crafters close by?
That's right. Car Crafters is locally owned and recognized as Best of the City by Albuquerque the Magazine for collision repair.
That's awesome. I love supporting the local business.
Car Crafters is a corporate partner of the Lobos, proudly serving New Mexico for over 35 years.
Car Crafters, it's like it never.
From first downs to touchdowns and everything in between, Slate Street Billiards has you covered. Rio Rancho's premier billiard hall invites you to enjoy all your sporting events on 14 screens and 9 projectors, home to the UFC, NFL, the best darn hot wings in town, ice cold beer, and outstanding service. What more can you ask for? Slate Street Billiards, Albuquerque and Rio Rancho's only official pool hall. Check us out on Facebook, and we'll see you at 2003 Southern Boulevard, right behind O'Reilly Auto Parts. Life's better here. Slate Street Billiards.
Have you or someone you love been seriously injured? You need an experienced attorney. There is no substitute for experience. We at the Law Office of Brian K. Branch have been helping people just like you for over 30 years, recovering tens of millions of dollars for their clients. We will help you understand and know your rights. Just call 717-2626 for a free consultation. At the Law Office of Brian K. Branch, we understand there is the easy way to do things and the right way to do things. When you have been seriously injured, you need someone in your corner who knows how to and does things the right way. That's how we at the Law Office of Brian K. Branch have represented our clients for over 30 years. Call us today for a free consultation at 717-2626. We will be right by your side when you need us, fighting for you every step of the way and doing things the right way. Call the Law Office of Brian K. Branch today at 717-2626.
Since 1985, St. Martin's Hospitality Center has provided meals, housing, and hope for those experiencing homelessness in Albuquerque. To better reflect our mission, we are changing our name to St. Martin's Hope Works. At Hope Works, we end homelessness one person at a time.
Discover your passion and purpose at Boska School. Boska students are immersed in a challenging college preparatory education, creating innovative thinkers through multidisciplinary connections and experience. Learn more about Boska Experience at a View of Boska open house Sunday, October 8th at 2 p.m. BoskaSchool.org.
Napa Know How.
Ever wish you could have your own walk-up music? Napa has the rugged Bluetooth speaker on sale for $29.99. It's portable and waterproof, which means you can play walk-up music anywhere. Showing up to a party? Walk-up music. Doing a sweet cannonball? Walk-up music. The rugged Bluetooth speaker at Napa for $29.99 makes everything cooler. That's Napa Know How.
Napa Know How.
At participating Napa Auto Parts stores while supplies last. Offer expires 6/30/17.
You are listening to the New Mexico Motorsports Report on ESPN Radio 101.7 The Team.
The pit stop is now over. Let's return to the New Mexico Motorsports Report and get things revved up with your phone calls at 994-1017. That's 994-1017. Now, back to the New Mexico Motorsports Report, presented by Napa Auto Parts, Yearwood Performance, ABQ Driveway, the Unser Racing Museum, and the New Mexico Rods and Rides Magazine. Here is David.
All right, welcome back to the New Mexico Motorsports Report here on ESPN Radio 101.7 The Team. And now we're going to go trackside and catch up with Brooklyn Green, sideline reporter for the New Mexico Motorsports Report. How are you doing?
I'm good, David. How are you?
I'm good. I'm good. So I gotta ask you, how is the weather out there in Charlotte?
It's been raining ever since I got up this morning. So it's drizzling. It's real misty outside, but hopefully that'll go away so we can get some racing in.
So what's the prognosis on that? There's some talk about moving the race up an hour. Are they feeling that they're going to be able to get in Sunday's race?
You know, I was talking to some people in the media room yesterday, and we were looking at the forecast, and it looks like it's supposed to rain all day on Sunday, but Monday it looks like there's supposed to be an opening with no rain. So if worse comes to worse, we think that they'll be able to get that race in on Monday.
Okay.
Which is good because we don't leave here until Tuesday, so we planned that out real nice.
that works fantastic. And of course, I always kidded Dominic Aragon with the Racing Experts that he always preferred to have the race on Monday. I don't know what his deal was, but let's talk about last night's modified race. 150 laps. That's 225 miles for those guys, and came down to quite an ending with a pass by Kobe for the victory. Talk a little bit about your observations from that race.
Oh, yeah, it was a great race. I mean, starting at the beginning, there was a wreck at first going into turns one and two, and we always laugh. You don't win the race on the first lap.
Yep.
So, I mean that came to mind right away, but it was an awesome race, and it was good to see him win. I mean, he's 38 years old, so, I mean, he traveled far, so it was great to see him win. Yeah.
That's fantastic. So Kobe's currently the point leader, and of course we talked a little bit about Ryan Preece. Ryan Preece, of course, doing some double duty over and getting a ride at Joe Gibbs Racing in the Xfinity. Skipped the race, the Weldon race last week, so that he could run the Xfinity race. Kind of dropped him down in points. He's now in fourth behind Kobe, and of course Ryan Preece finished 10th. Several laps down, it looked like there was only two cars on the lead lap at the end of that race. Was there a lot of attrition, or was it just kind of a smaller field, too?
It was a smaller field. I mean, there wasn't as many cars as we expected to get out there. I mean, how many were there? 12, I believe, started the race. So, yeah, I was definitely expecting more cars. But, I mean, regardless, they put on a great race for the fans and for everyone there watching. So, I mean...
Awesome. So everything turned out in the end. So it was it was all right. Wanted to talk a little bit about qualifying. I know you were there for qualifying. It was interesting to look at the qualifying. Eric Jones didn't even get a chance to qualify, so he's going to start 38th. Joey Logano 28th, and Jimmy Johnson didn't even make it out of the first round, qualifying 25th. Was there much talk about why there was so much difference in qualifying? Did it come down to basically people getting through tech, or was there something else going on with the racing surface?
Well, I mean, a couple of the drivers were talking about the compound on the track coming out of turn four, I believe, that, I mean, in the media room, we were talking to Dale Jr., and he said it was just like ice out there. So in practice, a lot of the drivers were, they were swiping that wall. So I think the drivers were just trying to get the feel of it and see what was going on there. I mean, Denny Hamlin obviously got the pole, so he was fine. We actually saw him after he got out of the media room right after qualifying. So, I mean, we got to shake his hand and talk to him a little bit, which was cool. Yeah, so, I mean, I think it was just the racetrack. I mean, those drivers are just trying to feel out how it's going to be tomorrow, and then now with this rain, they kind of got to fill it all out again. So, I mean, the qualifying was, it was really awesome to watch, and we got to watch right across the checkered flag line, so that was cool. But yeah, I mean, just being out here and actually seeing all this in person, it's so different than watching it on TV. I can't even believe it. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, make sure you take earplugs, because I learned that the hard way when I went out to Vegas 2014. I thought, oh, you know, I love the sound, but after hours of it just pounding away at your ear, it is a little loud. But the rain actually does create a very interesting situation because it'll take the VHT off. A lot of cars were making a lot of changes. Of course, when you change from your qualifying trim to your race trim, a lot of times you try and taking advantage of that. But one of the things I thought that kind of jumped out is Kevin Harvick had basically led all of the rounds of qualifying until he got to the final round, and he brought up actually that he was trying to stay out of the VHT, dropped a wheel in it, and had to back off just a little bit to catch the car, and ended up dropping to third in the qualifying. But like you said, Denny Hamlin getting up there, Matt Kenseth, looks like the Toyotas are going to have a pretty good run. Chase Elliott, would be nice to see him get another shot starting seventh. Just on being around the media room, was there any mood about, okay, Hamlin goes up there and he gets the pole after his comments about during the week about whether drivers are getting paid enough? Was there any discussion in the media basically about those comments?
You know what? I wasn't in the actual media room when Denny Hamlin was there. We caught him outside of the media room.
Okay.
So I'm not totally sure what went on in there. I haven't heard anything. Nobody asked questions about to Dale or anything like that about Denny Hamlin's previous comments. But yeah, they hasn't heard much about it. I mean, even some people around here, they hadn't heard much about it. So, it was nothing that I was aware of being around the media room. No one had made any comments about that.
That's completely fascinating when you consider Dale Jr. maybe less than a month ago mentioning that the reason why we're seeing so many young people is the drivers are in some ways overpaid. And so it's funny because when basically the face of NASCAR makes a comment, you tend to get a lot of comments. And Hamlin, I don't know if it's just he's not necessarily as recognizable, even though he's really the head of the Drivers' Council. So it'd be interesting to see what comes out of that. But, hey, have a great time. Take a bunch of pictures for us and grab a few interviews, and we'll highlight those next week.
Oh, I will. Thank you, David.
All right. That was Brooklyn Green, sideline reporter for the New Mexico Motorsports Report out at Charlotte. Giving us some coverage. So whether the race is Sunday or Monday, we'll bring you information from the track. All right, on the other side, we're going to actually talk a little local racing. That's right, Modified Madness in Albuquerque tonight. So if you're out at the Balloon Fiesta and looking for something to do this evening, I can get out to the track. Racing's going to start about 3:30. So before it gets too cold, you'll be able to check out the racing, get a nap, and be ready for Balloon Fiesta tomorrow morning. We got a whole lot more coming up, so stay tuned. You've been listening to the New Mexico Motorsports Report here on ESPN Radio, 101.7 The Team.
Hey Albuquerque, this is Ryan Blaney, driver number 21, Motorcraft Quick Lane Ford Fusion for the Wood Brothers. You are listening to the New Mexico Motorsports Report with David Swope on ESPN Radio Albuquerque, 101.7 The Team.
Hey Albuquerque, this is the mayor of Hinchtown, James Hinchcliffe, driving the number 5 Smith Peterson Motorsports Honda. You're listening to the New Mexico Motorsports Report with David Swope on ESPN Radio Albuquerque, 101.7 The Team.
The pit stop is now over. Let's return to the New Mexico Motorsports Report and get things revved up with your phone calls at 994-1017. That's 994-1017. Now, back to the New Mexico Motorsports Report, presented by Napa Auto Parts, Your Wood Performance, ABQ Dragway, the Unser Racing Museum, and the New Mexico Rods and Rides Magazine. Here is David.
All right, welcome back to the New Mexico Motorsports Report here on ESPN Radio 101.7 The Team. All right, a quick programming note. Coming up on deck, FM Sports Saturday, 10 a.m., you got the Team High School Show, 11 a.m., the Henry T. Show. 3:30, we're going to have Major League Baseball, Cubs versus Nationals. We'll see if the Cubs can win another road game. They're the only team that won a road game so far in the playoffs. At 7 p.m., we got the Diamondbacks versus the Dodgers. Tomorrow, Cardinals-Eagles, 11 a.m., 2:25, Packers versus Cowboys, and then we'll join at 5:30, Major League Baseball, Indians versus Yankees. All right, you want to check out some local racing going on this afternoon. I actually said evening earlier, but racing starts at 4 o'clock out of Sandia Speedway. And joining us is my buddy, Andrew Fowner. How you doing, man?
Oh, Dave, I appreciate you inviting me in this afternoon, or this morning, I should say. I'm more than happy to be here.
Well, it, we were trying to figure out, it's been a little while, and of course, because there's no way to find any points that are going out in Sandia, I didn't even give you the proper props and say you're points leader.
Yeah.
Talk a little bit about what's been going on at Sandia with the Modifieds.
Yes, you know, I will. I know it's not my job to apologize, but I'm sorry that we haven't had more media attention out there and a listing of what happens at the track week by week. Maybe it's something we can work on and get somebody back in that where we can get some over to the newspaper or something of that sort. But, yes, right as it stands now, today is the final race of the season for the Modifieds. I'm leading the championship in the X-Mod division. It's a slim margin, so I just got to go out there and put the wheels to the ground and keep them there and see if I can win this thing.
All right, so who's second in points right now?
Latham Skinner.
Latham Skinner, okay.
Yeah, I should say Ronnie Latham.
Yeah, well, everybody knows him as Skinner. I mean, I think that's good. So,
yeah.
You're coming out of four, final lap. He's in front of you. Are you going to use the chrome horn?
Well, you know, unfortunately, at this stage in the championship, I don't have to do that.
Oh, okay.
If
you're in second, you're okay.
I can wrap it up. That's my main division. Some of my coaches have said, Andrew, if that happens with the corn bumper on you, just put it in your memory banks and just keep the car going forward and you'll be okay.
Yeah.
You know, don't let your temper get the best of you because you don't have to win the race to win the championship. It's you know, it's unfortunate sometimes that it comes to point racing, but I'm in a points battle. I don't have to win. Yes, I'd love to wrap it all up and take the victory, but my most important thing is to take the car across the finish line.
Well, if one thing can be said is we're definitely mature. So maybe we could show some maturity there. But racing is gates open at noon. Racing starts at 3:30. For those that aren't familiar with what a modified is, because we just talked about the Whelen Modified Series on the asphalt track, and we're talking a completely different animal. As a owner of Master Tech, you know cars. You ought to be able to give us a good explanation of what is a modified.
Well, cut and dry. There is statistically no difference between the Whelen Modified and my chassis that I'm running on the dirt. We set the suspension up slightly different, but basically they're open-wheel chassis cars. They're normally they're a Chevelle, Monte Carlo, metric chassis in the front, cut off past the front wheels, and then tubular chassis to the back. And we build that cage. There's several different manufacturers from Dirt Works to Shaw to Taylor, GTR. I'm driving a Shaw car this year. But, you know, that's it. I mean, there's statistically no difference between the Whelen Modified Series and our cars, except for the suspension and the motor and some variations of the rules.
What kind of power plant do you run?
I'm running a 360 small block Chevy. We're maxed out at 5 to 1 compression. Two-barrel manifolds, two-barrel carbs. And right now it's a solid lifters cam is what we're locked into. No small block is the maximum, 360.
Okay, so it's not a spec series. There's still some creativity in build.
Yes, that's true. well, you could put that.
I'm not walking you into anything. Yeah. I'm not setting you up.
And that's been part of the. It's part of the controversy, as far as I'm concerned, being a driver, owner of a car, that the local tracks, and I say that they're stretched out in New Mexico. That's
right.
Just a, you know, let's take Grants, New Mexico, Aztec, let's take Las Cruces. Why can't the tracks work together to keep a set of local rules for cars so that they're all eligible to race in the same series? And it just hasn't happened. I don't know that it ever will. I don't know if we'll ever come to a stage where it's NASCAR, but it should, in my opinion. It brings more racers to the track, easy.
Well, I mean, we just talked about the Whelen series. There was only 12 cars that started the race.
Gotcha.
12 cars on a mile-and-a-half track at Charlotte Motor Speedway had to be boring at times.
Not very fun to watch.
Yeah, I mean, because you take a 3/8 mile, and that's on the extreme outside, and that's a tape measure around the outside, and two guys actually standing out there. So we all know it's really it's a quarter mile on the inside out at Sandia. Getting, 16 cars is a good field. Getting a B main running out there would be absolutely amazing. And by joining them together, I'm sure we can get it done. But let's talk a little about the show tonight. You got the A mods and the X mods. Are they running together? Is there an A mod class? Or?
Yes, there are two distinct classes. I know that it'll be a little technical. The difference between an A mod and an X mod car is an A mod is the unlimited small block motor, as much as you want, and the rear suspension. The rear suspension on an X mod is a 3-link solid bar car. An A mod is normally a full floating car on the rear end, and of course, then the X mod has the smaller motor, 2-barrel carb.
So how much in dirt track racing does having that flexibility and the change in the suspension actually add to your speed?
Adds rear steer to the car. Can be tremendous on the right track conditions. Some track conditions are more conducive to a solid bar car, 3-link.
Absolutely. And at Sandia, are we talking a wet track or a dry track that like equals out the X-Mod, A-Mod?
It's been a fairly consistent track this year. I will give the promoter kudos to that. He's tried his hardest. I know it's never perfect. Dirt is that way.
Right.
But it's been a good clay track, not dry and not slick. So it's been good.
That's fantastic.
I think we could smooth the surface out slightly.
Well, I mean, and it's more an art than a science. I think about it being similar to stucco. I mean, stucco is definitely much more of an art than a science as far as application. But also got the streets running tonight. I'm asking you about a different division, so, I don't expect a big answer. But, streets, do we got a good group of streets as well?
Well, unfortunately, and, I've kind of been taking a look at this division. We're probably going to try and run a car in that division next year.
Oh, great.
That's our plan. But we've had such a fluctuation in the rules throughout the last several years that it's been hard for a guy to build a car and then not be deemed legal. So our car count, as far as the street stocks, has been small. The last two shows, they've had between 10 and 12 cars, and that's been better. It's been all the way down to 3 and 4 cars, and then a couple of the cruiser cars, which are not true street stocks. I know here again we're mixing two divisions, run with them. So it's been a small class.
Awesome. Hey, tell us a little bit about MasterTech. I mean, I wanted to give you a chance to give the sponsor and yourself some love. Where is MasterTech?
David, I'm going to appreciate that. MasterTech Automotive is located on the corner of Morningside and Cutler, 2408 Morningside. The new Stone Age rock climbing gym is right out my front door, I-40 in Carlisle.
Well, and I guess Green Jeans is right over there,
Green
too.
Green Jeans is right down the corner. We're a full-service automotive repair station. We do brakes, alignments, basic oil changes, do a lot of engine diagnostics, a lot of computer diagnostics, and, we're just a small repair shop, and, I appreciate any business I can have.
Absolutely. Got a website, phone number?
Website, it's under MasterTech Automotive. It's Facebook page. You can find me on the internet. Phone number is 505-881-8660.
Awesome. Well, I really appreciate you coming out. Good luck on the points championship, and good luck on a good show.
Well, David, I appreciate it very much, and I wish you the best of luck in what you do.
Well, thank you. I mean, we're working hard. I don't know if we're working well, but we're working hard. But just a quick note, hey, you want to go check out some drag racing going on today is actually going to be the Yearwood Street to Strip. And I want you to mark your calendars for this. Next Saturday, probably one of my favorite events out there, is the Hot Rod Rumble pre-73 Customs and Classic Cars. They even put them on the track, so make sure you mark your calendar for that. I want to thank Kelly very much for producing the show today. I know we had a little bit of excitement. Hopefully you didn't even notice because we got it taken care of. And also Brooklyn Green, we sent her on assignment for the first time, our sideline reporter. Tune in next Saturday from 8 a.m. to 9 a.m. and we'll have all the latest racing in New Mexico and on the national scene. You've been listening to the New Mexico Motorsports Report here on ESPN Radio 101.7 The Team.
Not the perfume I do wear. It's not the ribbons in your hair. I don't mind you coming here.
Thank you for listening to the New Mexico Motorsports Report presented by Napa Auto Parts, Yearwood Performance, ABQ Dragway, the Unser Racing Museum, and the New Mexico Rods and Rides Magazine here on ESPN Radio 101.7 The Team. Join us again next week where your host, David Swope, will be talking about events happening around the state and on the national scene. Whether it's got two wheels or four wheels, pavement and off-road racing, or park and shine. If you are into it, we are into it.
...1017 KQTM Rio Rancho Albuquerque, your hometown radio station.